You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. You were back in the studio yesterday, Tony. How did it feel?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You were there too, and you, Auntie M, but Toto, we're home now. There's no place like home.
Yeah. Okay, you went with that one as opposed to E.T. Home.
It was, home. Yeah, it was lovely. It was lovely. I had a wonderful time. I'll do it again.
Good.
Occasionally. Occasionally. Not regularly. Occasionally for those
E.T.
people.
E.T. was phone home,
to
right? Something
very
home.
Very nice, yes. Phone home. Phone home. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Lakers edge the Suns, the Bucks trounce the Knicks, and the Dodgers hope they haven't hurt their chances of landing Shohei Ohtani. But we begin today with the Yankees reportedly on the verge of adding a big bat. Various outlets have Juan Soto arriving from the Padres for a couple of promising pitchers. The left-handed hitting Soto had 35 homers and a 930 OPS for the Padres last season. He's just 25 with 1 year left on his deal. So, Wilbon, how do you see Soto fitting in with the Yankees?
Well, I mean, as a left-hand bat, which they were looking for, considering Judge and Stanton, if he ever plays again, are on the right side, and they can use him right in that lineup. He's an everyday player. He's got a World Series ring, for crying out loud. He wants to make $1 trillion a year. The Yankees can afford that if he works out in the one season, which could be a rental, but more likely it's the Yankees. They can do whatever they want. So, Tony's a great player. You just mentioned he's not even 26 years old yet. So, why wouldn't he fit in the Yankee lineup, a left-handed bat in Yankee Stadium? He could hit those 240-foot pop flies, and he might get to 40 home runs instead of his usual 30.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the obligatory shot at Yankee Stadium, but it reminds all of us that who is the greatest hitter in the history of the New York Yankees? It's a left-handed hitting outfielder. George Herman Ruth, perhaps you're familiar with his work. And Aaron Judge in the outfield now, though he's a righty, is compared to Babe Ruth. Juan Soto's not going to hit that many home runs, but he's going to get more hits, and they're going to be impact hits because Juan Soto, as a child at 19 and 20 and 21, was compared to Mel Ott. And now, as you say, Mike, they got lefty-righty in a row with Soto and with Judge, which is very, very hard on pitchers. Look, Juan Soto, when he was in Washington, he was great, absolutely great. He made people forget about the fact that Bryce Harper left. He is a fabulous hitter with a great eye, Mike. He led the National League in walks this year because he doesn't chase bad pitches. He had, let me get the notes here, his on-base percentage was .405. That's terrific. And he had, in terms of power, 35 homers and 109 RBI. So wherever he goes, he can elevate
in home runs.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I thought he looked lost in San Diego. It never seemed to me that it was working. I think the Yankees are perfect for a lot of people. But as you say, it's the left-handed bat to go with the right-handed bat. If he's happy there, he'll sign forever. Sure he will.
He only stayed a season plus in San Diego. So maybe he's still wandering, looking for a spot. It would seem like that would be a good spot. It seems that way.
Sure.
Let's move to the flap over the Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts, saying out loud, how dare he, that his team had met with free agent Shohei Ohtani. Roberts was admonished by the Dodgers GM, his own boss, Brandon Gomes, for going public, which reportedly is exactly what Ohtani and his agent don't want. Tony, you think Roberts heard or helped the Dodgers' quest for Ohtani by admitting, oh my God, what a sin, that they'd met?
Yeah. So I've been reading a lot of baseball writers lately, and they're bemoaning the sort of secrecy of the Shohei Ohtani free agency. They want this to be a public courtship. They say that would be good for baseball, because Ohtani is such a popular figure. It's as if they want, Mike, every single day, a Google map to tell you where Ohtani is and who he has talked to. And one of the reasons they feel that way is because I believe it's since August when Ohtani got hurt that he has not been answering questions about himself. So I tend to side with baseball writers most of the time. But in this case, if the player isn't talking and the agent isn't talking, the only other place you can go to is the Uber driver. Now, in terms of how this impacts Ohtani,
the GPS,
how this impacts Ohtani, I would be very surprised if anything that Dave Roberts said, short of "I don't want that guy," is going to have any effect on where Ohtani goes. He's going to pick the city that he wants, the team that he wants, the teammates that he wants. Mike, if he wants the Dodgers, he'll go there no matter what Dave Roberts did. And if that's enough to take him to another team, I think that would be foolish. I do.
It'd be more than foolish. If simply somebody admitting that they met you is enough to drive you away, I don't want you, because you're not going to be a winner. Because people who, Tony, there are a lot of great athletes, great, great, great athletes who never won. And their self-absorption is often the common thread. You know, I've got to control every single activity, not just of me and my teammates in a clubhouse, but everybody in the world. Those guys tend not to work out as well as they think they do. So if that's what Ohtani and his agents are obsessed with, take a walk. Go somewhere else. Because here's what you haven't done as great as you are. You haven't won a damn thing.
Yeah.
You haven't even gotten close. So if that's your obsession, other than getting in here and playing, go away. Go somewhere else.
I would like to believe that it's more the agent than it is the player. Apparently, according to Bob Nightingale, who usually gets it right, we're down to four teams now. Sorry to tell you your Cubs are out, but there's Toronto, the Angels, there's the Giants, and there are the Dodgers. Over the last 5 to 10 years, the Dodgers are by far the best of those teams in terms of achievement and getting into the playoffs and games won. So, I mean, to me, that seems the logical place for him to go. There were two quarterfinal games of the NBA's in-season tournament last night. The Bucks scored 146 points, beating the Knicks by 24. That's the most points allowed by the Knicks in 44 years. The Lakers beat the Suns 106-103. Largely because LeBron James was able to call timeout and save the Lakers from losing the ball to Phoenix with less than 10 seconds to go. Wilbon, which result do you see as more significant?
Tony, I don't know that I see either result as significant. The Lakers, LeBron would trade playing here in Vegas tomorrow. He traded for a one-game lead in any series he's going to play in April, May, or hopefully for him, June. So let's not get carried away, okay? The other game, Tony, is instructive for this reason. There's so many points. There's so many points being scored in the NBA. It's like the 1962 season. Then that when Wilt averaged 50. Tony, I don't know that any of this can be carried over, that it conveys to April, May, June, which is, let's face it, this is great. The league got exactly what it want. It calculated accurately what the in-season tournament could do in terms of interest, of fans and sponsors and players alike. It did. The league nailed this. But I don't know that these scores, Tony, you're looking at them too. You and I talked about it a few nights ago. We texted and we're like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
These games, 150. So I think that was the more instructive game, like looking at that offense and the points scored.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that was particularly significant that the Bucks beat the Knicks, because the Bucks are better than the Knicks. What was significant, though, is the points in this regard. The Knicks had walked into that game allowing the least amount of points of any team in the NBA, 105 game. So Milwaukee got 41 more than the Knicks usually give up, and Milwaukee got 22 more than they usually get. So let me take that out, because now you've got the Lakers and the Pelicans. I'm going to put that on the side for the second. Because you've got Indiana and Milwaukee. Indiana gets 146 three times a week and gives up 145. Yeah. Indiana leads basketball, number one in points gotten and number last in points given up. So that could be a 300-point game. I mean, you look at these scores and you go, that one
get to watch Halliburton.
The The only reason that I thought that the other game, the Lakers game, was more important was the timeout. The replay I saw, I thought LeBron did a really smart thing because he was on the other side of the floor, and I thought he got the timeout. Did you? Others did not. I thought he did.
Tony, it's so close, I wouldn't go crazy. Hey, look, you know I love the Suns. You know Booker is my boy now. I love Devin Booker.
Yeah.
He had like 7 turnovers, and the Suns had 22 turnovers. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
And the call might not have been the correct call, but the Suns protect the ball. Kevin Durant was great after the game saying, what are you talking about? We turned it over 22 times. That Booker had a bad game. He's still going to be great tomorrow. All right, I'll still ride with Devin Booker. But the Suns had plenty of chances to win that game.
You should ride with him. Don't ride with Bradley Beal.
I'll ride with Devin Booker.
On the bench because he doesn't
have his classic cars.
Let's take a break.
Cars?
Coming up, will the Patriots and Steelers score a combined 30 points tomorrow night? Combined.
Devin Booker's got cars older than you. How about that? And have the sorry Spurs or the West leading Wolves been the bigger surprise this season? Booker's got some automobiles.
Cars older than me? Cars? What, he's got a Model T?
Yes.
What's he got?
Well,
he does.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Grey Goose, part of Happy Hour.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then thinks how nice it was yesterday to see everyone who works on PTI, whatever their names are. What's first?
Toss-up, which way are you leaning in tomorrow's Patriots-Steelers game? Over or under?
Okay, the over-under number is 30. That is the lowest over-under number in the NFL in the last 30 years. And here's why you should take it. Because the Patriots at the moment are averaging 12 points a game. And the Steelers, with or without Matt Canada as offensive coordinator, are averaging 16. So that's 28. But wait, as they say, there's much more. In the last three games, the Patriots are averaging 4 points. 4 points. And the Steelers just lost their starting quarterback, Kenny Pickett, at this point. They both have pretty good defenses, to be honest. So this thing reeks of under. It reeks of under like Iowa's football team reeks of under. Plus, Mike, it's a Thursday night game. Players don't even want to play it. They're tired from Sunday. I feel sadness, Mike. I feel sadness that the Patriots and the Steelers, great dynasties of all time, are in this position.
Yeah, what is it? What is it like? 13 Super Bowls. No, it's more than that. It's like 13 Super Bowls between two. Tony, this is an example of the bad football, sadly, that is being played this season. And you don't want those two teams being, those two franchises being the face of that because it doesn't makes sense. It doesn't jibe with the modern history of the NFL since the merger. You take the under. Yes. You mentioned all the conditions. I don't need to go back over any of them. Tony, listen, I might take the under if it was 20. This is a 10-3 game. What makes anybody think the Patriots? The only thing is each team could have like a pick six or a pick six and a fumble return. That's how the scoring could be done to get you up in the 20s. But I would under 30, absolutely.
Yeah. What's next?
Toss up they play tonight. More surprising start. The 3-16 Spurs or the 15-4 Timberwolves?
I'm going to say the Spurs. And I know the Spurs were very bad last year. They were 22-60. But they drafted Victor Wembanyama, who you told me a number of times, as did others, is a generational player. I'm wondering exactly what that generation is. The Spurs have now lost 14 in a row, Mike. They haven't won a game since November 2nd. They're on pace to win just 13 games, and Wembanyama is averaging 19 a game, and it is not nearly enough. I am less surprised by the Timberwolves because they made the playoffs the last 2 years. So for me, the surprise is the Spurs.
The Timberwolves made the playoffs. We're talking about making the playoffs, the playoffs. The Timberwolves are the best team in the West, which is loaded and a lot better than the East. The best team. Anthony Edwards is the MVP right now. Don't tell me that doesn't surprise you, because no, you could think he was going
to
have a big jump.
Well, you tell it to me all the time.
Because of his play with Team USA. Yeah, I tell you because I'm paying attention. The Spurs, we knew were going to be bad. There's no surprise there. Wembanyama or not. They're not going to make the playoffs. They weren't going to make the playoffs. LeBron in his first 2 years did not make the playoffs. Michael Jordan in his first year made the playoffs, but finished well under 500. So even with
they haven't won a game in over a month. It's over a month.
They're not any good. And they're not going to be any good. The Minnesota Timberwolves being appointment viewing since the first time since Kevin Garnett, that's a massive surprise. Even if they made the playoffs last year and they've learned how to incorporate Rudy Gobert in a much different way. Anthony Edwards, he's your man. He's why you want to see the Timberwolves.
As I've said many times, I root for the Timberwolves because Nathan Bubis is an assistant coach on the Timberwolves.
Well,
that's
there
it.
You go.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, did the Vikings and Jets make solid starting quarterback choices for Sunday?
And can the Clippers prove something tonight against the champs?
Steelers and Patriots, Mike, 12 Super Bowls combined. 12.
All right, 12 I gave somebody one too
Lombardi
many.
Lombardi trophies.
I must have given I gave the Steelers an extra Super Bowl.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 29th birthday, Giannis Antetokounmpo. If the Bucks big man isn't the best basketball player in the world, he's right there with Nikola Jokic. They both have one championship and two MVPs. This season, Giannis's Bucks were supposed to be dominant after landing Damian Lillard. They've been very good so far, but not dominant. And their defense has been rather smelly. They're allowing 118.3 points per game. That's 23rd in the league. Giannis is fifth in the league at scoring at 30.2 points per game, ninth in rebounding at 10.7 per game, and he's making 61% of his shots. Lillard is scoring 25.6 points a game. But there's always a sense, Mike, that the Bucks need Chris Middleton. And so far, Middleton is scoring 11.9 points per game. That is his lowest since his rookie year in 2012.
Yeah, Tone, they'd like to have a guy who's averaging 20 points a game or closer to it. Tony, they're not dominant. I agree with everything you said there, even with Giannis being great. And they're not going to be dominant. They just better hope to win. The league is better now than it was even a couple of years ago when they won that championship. There are too many good teams to dominate.
Happy anniversary, Antoine Jameson and Kobe Bryant. On this day, 23 years ago, Jameson and Bryant each scored 51 points, including trading six straight scores in the final 2 minutes of overtime as Jameson's Warriors beat Bryant's Lakers 125-122. This was Jameson's second consecutive 51-point game, and it was Bryant's most points to that point in his career. This was the first time in 38 years that two players scored 50 or more in the same game. Jameson and Bryant also share a draft oddity. Both were drafted and traded before ever playing in the league. Jameson was drafted fourth overall by Toronto, then traded to Golden State for his North Carolina teammate Vince Carter, drafted fifth. Bryant was drafted by Charlotte 13th overall and traded to the Lakers for Vlade Divac.
Jameson was not Kobe Bryant. Nobody has been. But Jameson was a really fine player. Tony, we, of course, got to see him a lot in Washington. Yep. Well, that team got close once. They got really close once, he and Gilbert Arenas, and they could. LeBron took them apart with a shot in a game in Cleveland when they should have won that series probably, and it might have changed the overall sort of perception, and he wouldn't be as underrated, Anton Jameson, as he actually is.
Happy trails to the Red Sox for Alex Verdugo. In a rare trade between these division rivals, the Red Sox sent Alex Verdugo, 27-year-old outfielder, to the Yankees for three right-handed pitchers, only one of whom has had any major league experience. Verdugo bats left-handed. Yankee left-handed hitters ranked 29th in baseball last season in batting average, 219, last in on-base percentage. Verdugo hit 294 against righties in the last three seasons in Boston, far better than his 238 against lefties. Figures maybe to be a platoon player in New York, especially if the Yankees add Juan Soto, or maybe starts in the outfield, I'm not sure. Most analyses of this trade say the Red Sox had grown weary of Verdugo and dumped him. Reportedly, the best pitching prospect they get back is 23-year-old Richard Fitz.
Tony, I'm going to go off script here a little bit and mention a melancholy trails to the great Norman Lear. Maybe the greatest creator of all time when it comes to modern television, and created maybe the best character of all time in Archie Bunker. He was 101 years old, Norman Lear. I know that matters to you because you and I grew up, came of age on Norman Lear's work, particularly Archie Bunker and All in the Family.
There's no question. All in the Family, landmark show, and Archie Bunker, greatest single character in the history of television. No question about that. We run out of show and we go to the big finish. The Vikings will start Josh Dobbs against the Raiders. Are you surprised?
A little. I mean, he had those four picks against the Bears. But, Tony, what are the options? Justin Jefferson's back. What, Fran Tarkenton's going to walk through the door? Not all that surprised. The Jets will start Zach Wilson against the Texans. Are you that surprised about that?
What can I say? I think he's proven time and time again he's come up short as an NFL quarterback. If they feel he's the best they got, then you have to do it. Shaka Smart and number 8 Marquette host number 12 Texas tonight. You intrigued?
His current school against his old school. I think Marquette's Final Four good. I am intrigued. The 2024 Belmont Stakes will be run at Saratoga at 1.25 rather than 1.5. Why? Why is that?
Belmont's being renovated, but this is a bad thing. That's the classic distance, 1.5 miles. That's why the Belmont exists, the race itself. Should run it 1.5 miles. Last one. Nuggets and Clippers tonight. Who you got?
The Nuggets took the Clippers apart the last time. Clippers are getting it together. I think they want a little revenge. I got the Clippers tonight against the champs.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter. I'm in Vegas, Tom.
Enjoying
Don't
Vegas?
Don't you wish you were here?
Are you enjoying Vegas? Do you like Vegas?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.